I'm checking out your background, Spencer. You have a very doomsday prepper amount of paper towels back there, and that's one of the things I respect about you, is that your preparedness is always on point.
I don't know if you heard, but like maybe a couple months ago, they were like, get ready to lock down again. And I was like, God damn it, there's going to be another run on fucking paper towels. And so I bought an 8-pack. I meant to buy more, but I only could get an 8-pack. So it's good. I have a, you don't want to see where I keep the toilet paper.
Your butt? How prepared would that be? You cut out the middle, man. You just keep the toilet paper in your butt.
I just shit clean. I don't have to do anything. It just comes out clean. My asshole's just pristine and probably bloodied.
You have a self-wiping butthole. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that would be cool. It's just like, I like work my intestines such that it like swaddles each movement in cloth before it exits. And it would be very painful, but very clean.
Yeah, like I'm picturing kind of the I Love Lucy chocolate conveyor belt episode where little poops are going by on a conveyor belt, and there's some sort of mechanism, some sort of Lucille ball mechanism that wraps each poop in a little paper wrapping.
And at some point, she has to start eating it. It's a great mental image.
If you're intestinally not feeling well and the conveyor belt starts running too quickly, then yes, Lucille Ball has to eat your shit.
Oh man, what a great start. Oh boy, this is the kind of content, classic humor you could expect from That Happens. It's really happening, and we're really saying the name of the show. That's got to be like exciting for people, right?
We've already delivered on so many levels. Again, I really feel, Spencer, that if there were no audience, and for all we know there isn't an audience, I would do this with you just so I could gaze into your bespectacled eyes and wonder what's in that motherfucking paper bag behind you in front of the paper towels. I don't know how many Nazis we have listening to That Happens. I'd like to think there's at least two. I'm going to give you, to our Nazi listeners out there, if there are any, first, lick it, suck it, put it in a bucket and fuck it. I'm going to issue a little Jeff Davis decree here. Stop it. I'm giving you freedom, Nazis, to cool it a little bit. Just cool it with the Nazi and the hating of the people that aren't straight white males.
And I'm going to go further and say, if you're a Nazi, no more dessert.
No more dessert. You cannot eat your pudding if you don't stop being a Nazi. There will be no pudding until the Nazi stuff stops.
Yeah, that's. I'm going to be firm on that, I think. So
clean the lint trap.
Good for us.
In the lint trap, don't storm the Capitol wearing a Auschwitz, hilarious comedy Auschwitz shirts. The bummer about that guy wearing the Auschwitz shirt at the Capitol, aside from the fact that it's probably a hate crime and a fashion crime, is that it's made all of my racially charged novelty t-shirts kind of déclassé now. They're kind of out of style right now.
That was a whole wing of your closet, huh?
It was a whole, I had some jokes. I'm not going to say them right now. So here's a question for you, Spencer, because we have not discussed this. We listeners of That Happens, you are embarking on a journey, whether you like it or not, along with Spencer and I, because we have given almost zero thought to what this show is going to be. It's going to evolve. It's going to become what it is with your support and with your help, and Nazis notwithstanding.
But,
I'm going to take a little break right now to do a new segment. We're sponsored by a lot of people. I don't know if episode one, we already have huge ad sponsorship. This first episode is brought to you in part by the good people at Fernet Branca. Branca from the good people at Fernet. Hey! Hey, Giuseppe, come stai? Ah, bene, bene, Giacomo. Che vuole fare oggi? A chi posso bevere il Fernet Branca? Fernet Branca. Yum.
That's just...
Oh, fuck. I don't know if you can... If you're just listening to this, if you're not watching and seeing the awful pain register across my visage... I've had a lot of Fernet Branca over the days, and if you're not familiar with Fernet Branca, it's the brown liqueur of doom, supposedly created as a PMS remedy back in 1845. Different bottles have different levels of potency. If you drink like a Jack Daniels or a Tito's vodka, who we're also sponsored by, if you if you get a take a sip of delicious Tito's handmade Austin vodka, if you take a sip of that out of any bottle, it's always the same. It doesn't fluctuate. Sometimes Fernet Brancas are a little more raunchy than the other ones. Some really just taste like the bottom of a coffin. Oy, ouchie.
And you took like a double shot, I want to say. It was pretty big.
I've got these commemorative Fernet Branca little glasses here. And if you fill it up to that kind of weird line on the outside, that's, I think, about two shots. And I found that that's the right dosage for me. Do you ever drink? I know you occasionally have had a drink in my presence, Spencer. But do you ever just like, you don't keep, you don't have like a beer in the fridge at all times, or you don't go out and... Well, nobody goes out.
No, I basically, I go to bars. That's basically all I do these days. Just sit, you know, and sit and cough. But no, I don't drink. Drinking makes me feel bad. How it works is I drink like a beer or a shot or something, and then I immediately feel it in my stomach, just like I ate like a cannonball. And then shortly after, maybe a couple minutes later, it hits my elbows, and then my elbows start to ache. And then it's like, well, that doesn't make any sense. And then my stomach starts to get upset, and then maybe I get a headache or I don't. And then if I'm lucky, I'll start to get like tipsy or drunk or something. But like, I have all these physiological phenomena that hit me way before that, and it just makes the whole prospect so uncomfortable. And I also like, I get drunk pretty easily, but it's like, I'm pretty big, so it takes, you know, it doesn't take just one drink or whatever. So it's like, but immediately I get those side effects. So it's really like, I really have to power through like just a bunch of horrible bullshit if I want to drink. So
that doesn't sound like any kind of fun.
No.
Are you still drinking the like Mountain Dews and Big Reds and whatnot?
Yeah, I tried to stop drinking soda. I'm still trying to stop drinking soda, but they came out with a new freaking Mountain Dew called Mountain Dew Major Melon, which is it's melon flavored, watermelon flavored. It's so good. It tastes like candy, which who doesn't want to drink candy? Am I right?
That sounds really, really sweet. I can't. That sounds like the last thing I would ever, never, ever drink.
I'm not gonna lie. I wish it was sweeter. It's very sour, but it's got like that artificial watermelon flavor, and it has sugar in it, but it's not like it's, I don't know, based on that artificial flavor, you almost want it to be like super sweet, and it's not. But it's good. I mean, I'm drinking too much. I had stopped drinking soda for a couple weeks, and now I drank a couple of those, and I'm like, this is all I want in my life. But I think I'm gonna stop. I'm so fat, Jeff. I'm like, right now I'm like 290, which is close to the heaviest I've ever been in my life. And I can't even blame it on quarantine, because I gained like the vast majority of it back before we locked down like last year. So it's a mess. I don't know what to do. Probably just keep gaining weight. That could be fun. Just become like a giant orb.
Yeah, I say you just really roll the dice on that one. Just say, you know what? Your move, heart disease.
My smell and taste is coming back now, but one of the weird things is you just get these random blasts of strange smells, and the most common one people are getting is cigarette smoke. Like, I can just be sitting here at the table, and then all of a sudden it smells like someone just blew smoke in my face. And I thought I was going crazy until I Googled it, and there's like 100,000 people saying the same thing.
Are there other people getting different smells, or is that the main smell?
The two main ones are cigarette smell and garbage. So I'm, I guess I lucked out.
Yeah, what if it was like jasmine? You'd be like, okay, this is all right. Or like root beer. You're like, that's not the smell you would have picked, but root beer, there are worse smells than root beer.
And so, what about jasmine and fruit root beer?
Oh my God. It's funny you should mention that, Spencer, because one of our sponsors is Old Man Crittenden's jasmine infused craft root beers.
I'm Old Man Crittenden, and I went down to the root beer mines, and I found some jasmine, and I was like, what if this was in that? So I went back to the lab, and I did just that. And it turns out, wasn't that good. I don't got a lot else going on, so I bottled it up anyway. And here you go, Old Man Crittenden's jasmine root beer.
Good stuff. Old Man Crittenden's jasmine root beer.
Old Man Crittenden's Jasmine Root Beer. What I like about that ad campaign is that a lot of soft drink commercials are, they put a lot more production value into it. There's a lot of, you know, CG and a lot of, you know, crowd scenes and whatnot. But this is, you know, Old Man Crittenden is just, it's just an old guy in an Adirondack chair on the back of a porch, and just telling you what he thinks about his product.
I thought it was interesting, the choice of them to just have a bunch of people moving boxes in the background. It's like, I mean, the porch is fine on its own. Like, you get the vibe. Like, what is that adding?
Yeah. But then you zoom in, like, you, again, it's like one of those CIA things where you go, enhance, like, zoom in on that box, enhance image. And then you see that it's got little German Imperial Eagles on it, like in Raiders of the Lost Ark. That he's been hoarding Nazi gold or artwork or ammunition. You don't know what it is. Old Man Crittenden, I think there's still a lot of investigations going on. He's a complicated fellow. And yet, the delicate balance of earthy root beer and the sweet floral fragrance of Provençal jasmine, it's fantastic. Do they grow jasmine in Provence? No, that's lavender. I meant lavender. Jasmine's probably, you get that from like China or something, right? Then, right?
Man, I was thinking of lavender this whole time. Even though we were talking about jasmine, I was just picturing lavender. I can't quite place the smell of jasmine.
I was looking at a jasmine bush. I was thinking of a jasmine, kind of that pinkish purple. I was smelling jasmine. Does Old Man Crittenden do a jasmine? I mean, do a lavender infused root beer?
He does. Yeah, he does a lavender root beer that's full of adrenochrome.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's heavy stuff.
It's no good. He's working with Nazis and the sicko libs in the deep state.
I don't infer from him or from his minions in the background moving around what seemed to be Third Reich wooden crates to mean he's a Nazi. He might have found where the Nazis were hoarding their secret jasmine and lavender supplies, or who knows what. And he's liberated all of that material from the Nazis.
Mm. I guess, yeah, that wasn't what I was picturing, but that I like that more. That's more marketable. I think it's more on brand.
I think it's better branding for you and me as a podcast to go with he hates the Nazis and loves root beer.
I'm on the fence. You might have to convince
me. Okay, well, you know, again, this podcast is going to evolve over time, Spencer. You know, I just found out we lost Tito's. Tito's heard that last segment, and Tito's Vodka is no longer a sponsor.
Ugh, that's okay. Yeah.
I wonder where Fernet Branca was during the war.
Oh, and we just lost Fernet Branca as a sponsor.
Speaking of Fernet Branca, it was pointed out to me recently that I'm on their Wikipedia page and under the cultural references portion. Because if you pull it up right now, if you go to Wikipedia under cultural references, I'm in great company, because they also here's another person that talks about Fernet Branca, Bill Cosby, on the Fat Albert record, or one of his records in 1973-ish, he does a whole track called Fernet Branca where he talks about it saved his life. And I've also heard in my Fernet Branca research that Hitler, who did not drink Fernet Branca or did not drink alcohol, he was a teetotaler. Apparently, he enjoyed a Fernet Branca before his speeches to settle his stomach. So
not a teetotaler, then.
Yeah. So between me and Bill Cosby and Hitler, Fernet Branca. Yum.
Try a Fernet Branca today. The drink that saved Bill Cosby's life.
Oh, my God. So, God.
Well, should we talk to our guest?
Oh, sure.
I mean, we got, you know, I figured it was our first episode potentially. If you're listening to this or if you aren't, this is the first one that we're recording, you know, on time wise. We might not release it that way, but I figured it would be good to, start things off with a bang. So I got a giant, like a huge, you know, who's the biggest person when you think of podcasting?
Me?
Or Kevin? I mean, I don't know. Or me.
Kevin, you know more about podcasting than I do. Who do you think the biggest name in podcasting is?
Boy, I don't. I'm a little behind on podcasting right now. Actually, I don't know who's top right now.
That's right, Joe Rogan, and he's here today.
We got
him.
Hey, well, let's welcome Joe Rogan. Hey, Joe, Sorry that I didn't, that your name didn't immediately come to mind when we were discussing the biggest names in podcasting, but it's a real pleasure to have you here, Joe.
Hi-ho! Rogan the Joe here.
That's the whole bit. That's
Joe,
the whole bit.
Joe, go into your audio settings. You sound like Kermit the Frog. Go at the bottom of the Zoom, you'll see
that's
thing.
That's just how I sound.
Oh, okay.
Let's talk about why weed is actually great. It makes me smart.
I'm not familiar with your show, Joe, but I hear mixed reviews about your show. What's the most common complaint that you get about your Joe Rogan podcast?
There's not enough of it. It's too short, they say.
I think if you go into audio settings, there's a Kermit filter that you can take off. No? Okay.
No, I'm telling you, this is my voice. This is the voice that thousands and hundreds of thousands of people tune into every week, and they just fucking love it.
Oh my gosh, sorry to interrupt you, Joe. Spencer, we just got Tito's back. Tito's huge Joe Rogan fans.
That could be good. Let's stand by and see if Fredette wants us back. I mean, this is really good for us.
Oh yeah, that's right. I'm good. You know, I'm good numbers.
I also, not to steal your thunder, Joe Rogan, but we have another big podcaster coming on the show. Everybody, please welcome Mark Maron. Mark Maron.
Yay!
Come on, Joe Rogan! Come on! I'm Mark Maron! Karate chop!
I think Mark Maron just killed Joe Rogan.
All right, well, let's say goodbye to our guests.
He went flying and up his ass with a hand.
Let's say goodbye to our guests. Big round of applause for Joe and for Mark. Again, just coming out of the gate that strong with that level of celebrity power.
Yeah, we didn't mention this, but we didn't want to do a podcast, but just all these advertisers and powerful people were just beating down our door saying we demand a vehicle with which to ply our wares.
Right.
And, you know, eventually we just had to give in.
Speaking of wares, I only wear one underwear, MeUndies. Let's go big here, Spencer. And this is not a bit. This is not a comedy bit that you, because you and I are famous for our flights of fancy and our comedy bits. Let's aim, either we both pick one together or we each individually pick a sponsor that we really just try to target. Like, who, if you could get sponsored by any corporation, any brand, any product, who if you could get swag from anybody just for simply being yourself, who would you go for?
I guess I'd have to go with Magic Spoon. If you enjoy breakfast cereal but hate all the carbs and need to get your daily dose of protein, you gotta have Magic Spoon. They come in like three or four different flavors. They got blueberry, they got cinnamon, they got cocoa, and also just frosted. I like the frosted myself, but you know, it's just, they're so good. It's a huge part of my daily routine, and I would love to be sponsored by Magic Spoon. Thank you if you sponsor Magic Spoon. What about you?
I don't know. I wasn't dreaming as big as you. I was going to go way less big.
Tweet! Don't.
Soldiers, fall in! I'm Major Melon, and I'm declaring war on thirst. Now drop and give me 20 ounces of Major Melon. It's the eponymous soda named after this soldier's favorite drink and this soldier's name. Major Donatello Farthingworth Muffa Melon.
Muffa? Farthingworth Muffa Melon.
What is your malfunction, soldier?
I don't have enough high fructose corn syrup and caffeine, sir.
Well, I'm going to invade your taste buds. I'm going to cross the 54th parallel of your uvula and fill your gullet with the most melony tasting sourness meets sweetness. It's the military grade soda that you've been waiting for.
Wow, that actually worked. And now I'm ready to declare war on thirst myself. Now my name is Corporal Melon instead of what I was before.
Hello, my name's Tito, and I make vodka. Now, in your stores and your convenience locations, you can try new Tito's Major Melon Smash-Ups. It's all the booziness of Tito's mixed with the sour, tangy sweetness of Major Melon. Ooh, that's a military pact I'd like to join. We can cut those.
All right, well, let's get the fuck out of here. Everybody, this happened.
That happens. Did shit. Fuck.
Spencer, what just happened?
That. That's the new sign off.
That's our new sign off.
I don't know. But my parents have also claimed to have been to a demon exorcism with their church. So I don't know what the basis of that story is.
For an individual? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, a member of the church had a family member that was possessed by a demon. And they went to the house. Yeah, they prayed around them. And the person was going nuts, you know, and acting demonic. They weren't, you know, they didn't do anything supernatural. They were just kind of spitting and cursing and stuff and, you know, moving around. But it was something they claimed. And so, like, here I am at 32. And I'm like, were they just trying to lie to me? Like, was it like a Santa Claus sort of situation? Like, oh, no,
like,
I saw Santa. Yeah, because there's real demons and you got to believe in Christ. You know, like, I don't know what it was or if they really did that. And, you know, it's like it wasn't so crazy that it's like I wouldn't believe like a situation like that could arise, you know, especially in a weird church. But like, it's just like that. Why would you go to a demon exorcist? I mean, I guess I would go because that sounds really
interesting. Yeah, like, do you sell tickets? Is there do you buy tickets? And they're like, we're going to exorcise this person. Is that the correct verbiage? Exorcise?
No, or exercise. Yeah. But it's not like that. It's like, you know, if a family member is diagnosed with cancer or something, sometimes the whole community will come or the person will come to church and they'll all lay hands on him and pray for him and stuff. And, you know, people will take turns praying. And so it's like it's treated kind of like that, except it's also like, be careful because we're trying to exorcise a demon. It's insane. I don't know. But
it's
yeah.
Very exclusive. There are only 60 tickets available for the show.
I don't think a church could sell tickets to a demon exorcist.
What are you talking about?
No, I'm sure they could.
Money.
Never mind. Yes, of course they could do that.
For sure they sell tickets. There was one other ghost story where I had a friend who lived in like a super southern old house when I lived in Georgia, and his parents adopted a black child, and his parents swore that that kid would wake up like in the mornings and have scratches all over its back. Mm-hmm. And so that might have been a racist ghost. That's a racist ghost story. We'll check all the boxes here.
I mean, it's a black person could also just be victimized by a ghost without racist intent.
Let's not leap to call this ghost a racist.
We don't know.
In a house that was like a house where the people who owned the house, it was so old that they like definitely had slaves. And these people are like, this kid can't sleep in this bed.
Well, definitely, if it's a ghost in the South, I guess it's a safe bet just to assume they're racist.
It's a racist ghost.
But that's crazy. When I was a kid, I used to always have bug bites. I would wake up with a bunch of bug bites, and my parents were like, you know, for the purposes of me telling the story, my parents were like, oh, I wonder if this is a ghost. But in fact, it was wolf spiders. I have delicious
blood. I like
blood,
that your parents are super religious, and then they're also think that there are ghosts all the time everywhere. Is that a thing in religion, that people believe in ghosts?
You know, everyone has their own stuff. There's not really one religion. Like, everyone's approach to religion is different. But, you know, typically...
Also, what do you mean you're getting bit by spiders all the time and everywhere? That sounds horrifying.
I got delicious blood. Well, I didn't know it was happening. I would just be itchy in the morning, so I didn't know. But, you know, everyone does religion differently. But I think a lot of times stuff like that is seen as what's called biblical witchcraft, you know, like with not biblical, but, you know, they called it witchcraft in Bible times and it was a sin, you know. So like they would believe any stuff like that, like belief in the supernatural and paranormal activity is kind of the work of Satan, and trying to worry about it too much or like try and figure out what's going on is like getting close to Satan. That's kind of like a pretty standard religious interpretation of witchcraft and supernatural. What about aliens though? Anyone got any alien stories? See any UFOs? My friend saw a UFO. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, when I was a kid, I swear this is true. I have no explanation for this, but me and a friend saw this multiple times where we were out camping in the middle of nothing and we saw lights in the sky that would make like 90 degree turns at insane speeds. And multiple nights, over and over again. I to this day cannot explain what we saw, other than maybe some crazy military thing that they still haven't confessed to. But like, you know, lights in the sky, like moving from like one end to the other end of the sky in seconds, but like making right angle turns in the middle. It was nuts.
Where at though? Like, where were you at? Where did you live?
Nebraska.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That makes sense that they would do that there. The aliens and the military. It could be either one.
Yeah. I think that, like, you know, they say that depending on your point of view, things can look really different. And then if you looked at a different point of view, like the aerial phenomenon is a lot less crazy. But at the same time, stuff like that to me is the most compelling because it's like, what is that moving? And we know how things move. We know how aerodynamics works. Like, it's not generally possible for things that aren't some sort of super powerful helicopter or something. I don't know, like a helicopter with jet engines to really make a lot of turns that, you know, UFOs take. So yeah, I you know, and also UFOs seem the most plausible because if I were an alien, I don't know that I'd be interacting with stuff when I could, you know, we have crazy satellites already. So you just got to imagine what kind of sensitive, you know, sensors they have. They could do everything just from flying around in the sky. I'd imagine, you know, like it just seems like why, you know, that's kind of the most I would be comfortable doing if I were an alien. But yeah. So
I don't have any alien stories.
Yeah, do you know anyone with alien stories?
I don't know any. My ex said the only alien story that he had was like he went to a sleep clinic one time, and so they were supposed to monitor him sleeping, and he said in the middle of them monitoring him sleeping, the guy woke him up and was like, "There's a UFO," and they like looked outside and there was like some like thing, and it like it's a funny story, but I didn't experience anything myself.
I wonder, did the guy remember, did he talk to the guy about it later? Because that could definitely be a dream where you dream that happened, but then, you know, if you say, hey, remember that to the guy, then they'd be like, no, that didn't happen. You
I know? Don't know.
Yeah.
I'd have to follow up, but I'm not sure.
That's so funny.
What happened?
Imagine being at a hospital and like a orderly or something was like, there's a goddamn UFO outside. You got to check this out. Like, I'd be like, I got to get out of this hospital.
I know, multiple reasons. Traumatizing.
Yeah. But Kevin, I hadn't asked you to cue it up, but do you have the news time scene theme song? Because it's freaking news time with the Spencer's News Corner.
I'm trying to win the Powerball.
What?
I also have a question for your podcast after your for Kevin, because Kevin is here. He's a neutral party.
Okay.
Kevin, are you listening?
Yes.
Pay attention to me.
Okay.
put your phone away and pay attention to me. So Spencer, I talk to Spencer a lot on the phone. Okay, like I call him all the time. Most of the time he doesn't answer, but I call him an annoying amount of times. And normally he gets really mad that I make him talk to me while I take a shower.
let's walk through it. So she calls me when she's going to Taco Bell.
Which is coming home from work, actually.
Yeah. She's talking to me. She starts ordering Taco Bell. I'm always like, and I want a cinnamon twist because I'm on the speakerphone, so you know they can hear me, and they usually get confused. It's always really funny. And then she gets home, she eats her Taco Bell, and then she goes and takes a shower while she's on the phone. It's just like, I don't know, like, because when I'm on the phone. So anyway, continue your story. I don't want to taint this, but that it's like a funny sequence of events that always happens to us. So I just wanted to get that out.
Yeah, I'll literally call Spencer and I'll be like, guess what I'm doing? He's like, you're going to Taco Bell. And I'm like, yes. But the shower thing is like, showering by yourself is really boring. And it's like fun to, and it's like so fun to have somebody to talk to while you're showering. And Spencer's like, I don't like this. Don't do this anymore. So now I just don't tell him when I'm getting in the shower, even though.
And I can still hear it. Like, that's not, yeah. She just doesn't announce it.
Anyway. I just, and then he'll still talk to me the whole time, but he's like, this is not normal. And I'm like, I think that it's like fun and normal. Do people do this to you?
All right. Kevin? So I guess, the first question, Kevin, is that normal?
I mean, kind of. I mean, like, are you to the kind of person who likes like a long shower?
No. Not that long. Like 10 minutes.
Like maybe 20. Max. Yeah. 10 minutes. Yeah.
Okay. Cause like my girlfriend will get in the shower for like an hour and sit on the floor and play on TikTok the entire time. So, and she gets bored, so sometimes she will call me because she still doesn't want to get out of the shower, but she's run out of stuff to look at. So mm-hmm. in that sense, I get it. I mean, I don't know many people that do that, but I don't think it's like crazy or anything, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, I don't. I guess I don't think
Spencer
it's crazy.
Spencer did not hang up the phone on me when I'm trying to take a shower.
Well, so my problem is it's hard to hear if someone's on the shower. Yes. It's so loud. It is so loud.
And I assume that I can't be heard either. So, I mean, you know, she, you know, I don't know. But so I, okay, it's not that weird. It's not, I'm not going to accept that it's normal. It's certainly not normal, but that's fine. But the thing is, to me, it's like, it's, you know, Abby calls me because she's bored, but I'm not bored. I'm doing stuff that I will get back to once I'm off the phone. And we talk for literal hours at a time because she's bored. So, but it's one thing if we're both talking because we're both, you know, not doing anything. But if you're like, I'm just going to go do all the stuff, but I have to sit here not able to do my stuff. You know, I'm like,
you
this
can
is
take
just
a shower on the phone with me.
I mean, I was thinking that maybe that's the compromise, is that we both have to take a shower at
the same time.
Yeah.
I'm the only one who, like, we have a really one-sided friendship where, like, I'm the only one who calls Spencer and he never calls me. Literally, before we did this podcast, I called him and he's like, why are you calling me? Now we'll have nothing to talk about on the podcast. And
I did say that.
Calling me.
Yeah,
he's like, you just told me everything about your whole life and now we'll have nothing to talk about. So
yeah, and look at us, we don't. I mean, I've been grasping at straws this whole 45 or so minutes.
Story that I told you that I want to tell again.
Yes, yeah, that's the thing,
because I need Kevin to like me more based on just this story alone. I'm just kidding. So I call Spencer because Thursday I shot a scene, like a content scene that was like amazing. I like pretend to be like a hooker and like fuck this boy in the backseat of this car while we're driving on public roads, which is like I could get in a lot of trouble for. So it was like really risky and awesome. And then shot the whole scene. It was like an hour. And then I was like, cool, put this on my hard drive. And the boy who shot it is like, oh, the audio drops every 4 seconds. So it's like completely unusable, right? And he's like, well,
yeah, so they mic'd the scene, but there was an audio problem where it was just every second it would just cut out. So it'd just be like, bleh,
yeah.
Bleh,
yeah.
And yeah. Just unusable, which, you know, I've watched porn without audio. The audio is a substantial component of it. It's not everything, but it's important.
I feel like it's slightly important, but I mean, maybe not for me. My friend was like, the only way we can salvage this scene is Mystery Science Theater style commentary over the whole video. And it's actually really amazing and funny, even though the scene, I look super awesome in it and I'm sad that it's like not a scene you'll jerk off to, but the Mystery Science Theater element is like, you know, because it's the boy who shot it, the boy I fucked, and then like all of our stuff, and then I'm like trying to match like the sounds of me blowing him in the car, and it does kind
of. So that's not what happens. That's not
like
what happens
funny.
In Mystery Science Theater. It's
yeah,
not
because
just
sometimes
the guys
they pretend to say what the people are saying.
Yeah, as a joke,
like that,
but that's
sort of
different.
Thing.
A series of rants that I keep in my back pocket, and anytime someone says something that can kind of segue me into a ramp, I'll take the opportunity to really go off and kind of share my truth. And I was doing that on a Twitch stream last night, and someone was like, you should do that on the podcast. And so I was like, okay. So I don't know what to call this, but this is one of my pocket rants. And, you know, feel free to jump in and stuff, ask questions, I don't know, or not, and we'll just see how long it goes. But this rant is about humans. Humans are social creatures, right? We evolved socially. We evolved to live in tribes and social units. We did that to protect ourselves against predators and to protect ourselves against exposure, against the elements, right? So we evolved socially. It's important because, you know, where we are today is a result of our social evolution. how other animals evolved, even social animals, but you know, how other animals evolved, and all evolution is about competition, right? Competition over scarce resources. How do we get one up on the other competitors? So it's kind of all a battle. And so again, animals evolve different traits. Jackrabbits learn how to jump really fast, dig holes. Turtles have shells. They have hard shells and hard armor. They have slow metabolisms that allow them to live long time. You know, you might lay a lot of eggs or have large litters. Wolves, they develop stronger muscles, sharper teeth, sharp claws, strong jaws, eyesight to track their prey. You know, these are all ways that animals evolve to compete. But most of those animals aren't competing socially the same way humans are. So humans evolved socially, and they evolved social forms of evolution and social forms of competition. And so what that is in a society is like, how do you become the alpha? How do you edge out competitors? You know, you evolve lies and tricks, ways to convince. You evolve persuasion, communication. You evolve fears, fear mongering. You evolve ways that let you understand what people are thinking. So you evolve empathy and stuff. But, you know, the dark side of that is you evolve to ascend socially, which means to, you know, compete and win against other people. So socially, what that means is you evolve to castigate others and create outcast groups. You say, this guy is bad, don't listen to him, go away from him and join me. You know, not just go away from him, but also you create in groups. You say, let's stick together and we'll all get what we want. And so this kind of tribal nature kind of has evolved us into these social creatures that engage in social sniping and social aggression and social predation the same way other animals engage in literal aggression and literal predation. We just do it socially. We say like, oh, we should exile this person from the tribe and they should never come out. You know, we invent stigmas and rules that we demand people to follow. These are all these social evolutions that we had to gain esteem in our own tribes, to gain power over our tribes, because if you have power over your tribe, then you're winning in competition, you're winning in evolution, you're having more babies. And that means, you know, you're gonna, that's what, throat bubble. That's what, you know, will make you succeed evolutionarily and have your traits passed down to, you know, your descendants. So we have all of these, like a lot of the human problems we're facing now are castigation, racism, oppression, and stuff. And all of those are parts of these hardwired circuits in human brains that develop because we evolved to fight socially like this and create outgroups. And so it's like we're fighting against our very nature. You know, like psychologists agree that xenophobia and racism are kind of hardwired into our brains. And, you know, the only way to deal with it is to acknowledge that and actively resist it at every turn. Because if you just kind of forget that it's happening, then it's, you know, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled is, you know, to convince you he didn't exist. So, you know, we can't just pretend that, no, I'm a 21st century man. I'm evolved. That this isn't affecting me. You know, we've come so far. You can't do that and solve the problem. You have to acknowledge that we have all these inborn things that drive us to do these things, and then recognize that those things that we're driven to do are destructive and ultimately against what we want as a society. But, you know, I don't think that people recognize that. And I don't even think people think about humans evolving in that way. I mean, you know, this is essentially just a theory that I made up, but it's got to be true because I'm a fucking genius and Kevin's nodding and he's a genius. So, you know, it's got to be real. And if you don't like it, you're castigated. So, you know, that's what it is. But it also, you know, explains celebrity culture, popular culture. But it's just like, it's this big thing that I don't think people think about. And they just think it's like, you know, one day we're going to solve racism. But we're not, because we're just going to move on to the next way we can divide people and oppress people and castigate people, because that's just how humans, you know, evolve and compete. And so it's not going to be solved until we kind of, as a society, collectively decide that this is actually bad. And hopefully that, you know, group of people is more powerful than the group of people that's like, actually, I could get what I want if I keep dividing and oppressing people. So it's a bleak picture. That's a hard equation to balance getting to that point. But I just think that that's a really, it's really essential to who human, what humans are and how we evolved. So yeah, that's the rant. What do you think? Am I cool? Am I a good person? Smart? Abby's frozen. No, she's rolling.
I'm not frozen. That was a lot of information that you ranted about.
Yep,
that's, I'm trying that's to figure out if your ultimate goal is to live in a communist world where everything is like fair and equal and even.
Yeah, it's like a
This is gonna be becoming a therapy session. I wanted to talk about snacks.
Well, what I'm trying to say is that Simon is a Trump supporter, and when I bring Simon on my show, shut the fuck up and let me talk to my friends.
I mean, fair enough. All I'm saying is, and again, I have a lot to catch up on because I'm very ignorant. I'm from Mexico and Canada. So I'm not an American citizen.
He crossed both borders illegally.
Yeah, just for fun. But I wanted. I mean, all I know about Trump is that he was in Home Alone and he was on this Apprentice show with like Gary Busey.
Gremlins 2?
Maybe he's in Gremlins 2. I've only read the novelization of Gremlins 1 by George Guype, and I incredibly recommend it. It's amazing.
Right, because Starburns has the artist kind of reputation, and we had a lot of friends, especially when the podcasting started. You know, a lot of creatives were coming in the door. A lot of people wanted to work with Starburns, but it only had the bandwidth to develop so much productions, like, at a time. And so, you know, you kind of were like, well, let's just make shit. We could just make so much shit and have a great time, and a lot of creatives were willing to take you up on that.
Yeah, and so... Yeah, this is a kind of like a thing I started by myself, and I funded it myself, and now we've got these weird books that exist and these cassette tapes that exist, and yeah, I've done stuff with you, and it's the most fun. It's like, I love the idea that future, whatever the hell humans evolve into, are going to be looking through landfills and digging up our weird garbage as if like there were paleontologists unearthing like Egyptian bowls. And trying to make sense out of, like, you know, the improvised book on tape we did, or, you know, this graphic novel musical by Dino Stamatopoulos about a dead baby.
Or, like, the Dan rap tape.
Or the Dan Harmon rap album, yes.
Yeah. So it's time to segue to the hard-hitting questions.
Let's do it.
Now, in 2005, August 7th at about 3 a.m., you were driving down the 101 South just outside of Calabasas, and you ran over a woman, killing her instantly. Do you have anything to say about that?
Well, the way I look at it is that life is all about perspective, and you're 100% in charge of your perspective. So there's absolutely nothing that disproves, at least right now in my brain, because I don't know anything about the facts, that this woman wasn't a horrible person, a horrible monster of a person that had lived many, many lives doing horrible things to good people. And this was just the universe's way of stopping her. Yeah. They just used my car to do it.
Right, you were just a tool in the hand of God.
Yeah, ever write something and you're like, how did I write this? Or if you're a musician, you come up with a melody and you're like, this didn't come from me, this kind of came through me. That's the closest I can kind of come to an explanation.
Right, and so a follow-up question. Do you see yourself as the angel of death?
I don't see myself as anything, but I don't, you know, that's the beautiful thing about art, and I think every human being... Every living thing is a piece of art, and it's less about what you think it is, and it's more about what other people think it is.
We'll take a break. We'll be back with more Cat Happens.
Oh, I'm Perry. I want a drink. I'm old Perry, and I want a drink.
Well, Perry, what's the matter? Why are you so thirsty?
I haven't had Old Man Crittenden's lavender-infused root beer in a fortnight.
Well, we gotta put an end to that dilemma. Come over here and sit by the trough.
I'm Old Man Crittenden, and I went into my lab and tried to cook up a batch of root beer, but I didn't know what I was doing, and I'm a bit farsighted, you see. So when I knocked that lavender extract into the mix, I thought I was ruined. But then I tasted it, and I was like, this sucks, but not so bad that I'm gonna throw out the batch, and thus... Old Man Crittenden's lavender-infused root beer was born. All of Old Man Crittenden's lavender-infused root beer contains up to 3 railroad spikes in every can. Buy a growler today at Ross.
And we're back to Cat Happens. I'm here interviewing Simon Gorey.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I super recommend them, and they're delicious. And you can find some of them on Amazon. But you can also find them on Universal Yums, their website, if they're in stock.
Yeah, and I do want to, we practice radical transparency occasionally on this podcast. And we have actually tried the banana kick on this podcast because when you showed them to me, I was so blown away that I bought like 16 bags of them. And yeah, so we have tried them, but they're so good. But also, I think, didn't you, I don't know, someone, maybe it was you, I don't know, someone brought me these banana treats from Japan that are like fake bananas. They're like a pastry.
Yeah, they're like in a bit, they look like bananas.
They look like peeled bananas. They kind of have a white, kind of very soft, kind of cakey outside, almost like a Twinkie, but then the inside is like banana, like mashed banana or something,
yeah,
right?
It's amazing.
It was so good. It's so light. That's the thing.
They also have banana s'mores that they make, like chocolate covered banana s'mores.
Oh my God. But like, yeah, like America is like so like big. In your face, we got the nacho cheesiest motherfucker, you know, yeah. it's like we're just
super extreme
hard style gravy, you know, like Mountain Dew
extreme cheddar biscuits,
Mountain Dew cheddar biscuits, like, yeah. But there's so much subtlety that you can embrace in flavoring, and a lot of other countries do that, and it works so well. It's like
have you ever had Crittenden's lavender root beer?
Well, this is exactly what I'm talking about. The old style flavor of Crittenden's root beer combined with the subtle but distinct taste of lavender is a taste sensation that's sure to tantalize the taste buds.
I mean, I loved it even before I knew it was a sponsor of your show, and exactly, like lavender, honeysuckle, ghost pepper, all things that really improve the taste of root beer, which I think is disgusting.
Yeah, and what I really like about it is that they've actually reduced the number of E. coli bacteria in every bottle by like 80%, you know?
Yeah, and I've heard one in every 10,000th bottle cures almost every disease.
Right, it'll cure what ails you.
Yeah.
And ale is also a beverage. And I'm making my eye line at the wrong camera, so, okay.
ooh, what cures what ails you, spelled
A-L-E, yeah.
That's a fantastic slogan.
Isn't
for a
that
beer
cool?
company, yeah.
Holy shit. Well, you know, if Starburns Press doesn't work out, we can always like go into beverage business or
Listen,
something.
Yeah, I love drinks.
But, you know, let's talk about your book, though. You're
oh, yeah,
an
of course, yeah. And I will send you the link to my art in case anybody wants to check it out.
What inspires you as an author? Like, what were you inspired by as an author, like, for your artistic voice and stuff?
Well, I'm a big fan of putting into the wells that I take from. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why I was like, if I could have another job, I'd probably be making snacks because I take so much happiness from snacks. And I feel that that's, like, kind of the meaning of life. Like, we're alive for a sneeze. Nothing we do really fucking matters. I've got this whole bit that I say a lot about how art is like human honey. You know, bees make honey and they don't even get to eat it. They die. Honey never spoils. It can, if it's made right, it can last for thousands and thousands of years and still be enjoyed by other creatures besides the bees that made it. And that to me is the closest we get to doing that as people is with art.
And also bees are driven to produce honey. Like yeah. they kind of must
and
do
And human
it.
Beings are always like, we're always, even the most, you know, methodical, business-minded, uncreative human being has something they do, a hobby they do, that they don't think is interesting, but I'm sure they could fucking start an Etsy store and they could make some money.
And even, you know, maybe this undercuts the point, but even if it's not art, it's definitely like producing something, making something with your hands, creation.
100%. It doesn't have to be a success or make you money for it to be meaningful or for it to be useful.
But we're driven to create.
Exactly, we're driven to create. And so as we're making honey, to me, it's always been like, what do I take the most from? Like, what would my life be impacted by in a negative way if blank was absent from it? And all it would take for blank to be absent from it is somebody along the lines not following through with their, you know, passion, you know? What would my life be if somebody at Mexico Frito-Lay was like, I'm not going to make the Cheeto dust more tangy. Fuck it, I got other things to do. No, I needed him to make that tangy cheese sauce dust so that I could have a happier life. And so I feel like I owe it to Cheetos, and I owe it to cartoons, and I owe it to books, and I owe it to cassette tapes.
And you owe it to breakfast cereal.
And I owe it to breakfast cereal to do something and put back into that well, even if it's just me participating. Even if it's just me throwing a bucket of water into the ocean, at least I threw a bucket of water into the place I like to swim in the most.